Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to another week of FPC Radio Live. It's Tuesday. We're getting started really late today, and I apologize for that. Had some things to attend to this morning, but we are here, and I wanted to make sure that I gave John the opportunity to celebrate the Lakers being up 3-1, John. 3-1 over the Golden State Warriors. Now, before you say anything, though, could this possibly have some, you know, sports symmetry going on here? And by that, I mean, once upon a time, LeBron James was down 3-1 to the Golden State Warriors, and we know how that eventually worked out. Is Golden State going to exact some revenge, John?
Well, hopefully no one on the Lakers, whether it's Dennis Schroeder or, you know, Jared Vanderbilt, decides to kick Steph Curry in the private parts and gets that whole thing going on. I think the Lakers are better than Golden State. I think they match up well with them. They're 3-1 in this series. They're 3-1 in the regular season. The size of the Lakers has been a problem. I think the Lakers should be fine. The Lakers have now started to create a really good home court advantage. They're 5-0 at home in the postseason, 6-0 if you include the play-in game. So that crowd's really into it. It feels more like the old days where that was a tough place to win. I think the Lakers are going to be in good shape. I don't see LeBron blowing a 3-1 series lead. Generally, he closes these things out pretty effectively. But the thing is, Ian, you know, Anthony Davis playing at a high level, LeBron playing at a high level, and they're getting two of their supporting players to play at a high level on a given night, right? I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. I mean, it's Austin Reeves or it's Dennis Schroeder, Jared Vanderbilt, you know, these guys just come out of nowhere and have big games after being dormant for a while. So they're getting those types of contributions. I think they're in good shape. And the Warriors really have trouble matching up with the size of the Lakers, and that's been a problem throughout this entire series.
Yeah, and look, obviously, you know, we talked before going into it, if Anthony Davis is playing at a high level, it's going to be hard for them to do exactly what you just said, match up, and that's what's playing out in front of our eyes. So, it's impressive, and for those who are, you know, hoping for a potential Celtics-Lakers finals, I know there might be a few people out there. It could happen. Now,
raised, Ian, I picked that before the playoffs. I'm very proud of myself.
Well, for once, you didn't doom at least one of their fates like you when you picked the Cleveland Browns a couple years ago to go to the Super Bowl. I'll never let you forget that. That was oof.
I know.
I mean, I understand. Look, I understand going out on a limb to pick a team, but it's the Cleveland Browns, John.
I know.
Come on.
Oh, broken clocks right twice a day, right?
And you want to be my latex salesman. And anyways, but, you know, you have the Lakers up 3-1. The Celtics, again, I feel like they're just... Like, first of all, what was that last possession in game four? Second,
we don't have enough time.
Yeah, well,
we don't have enough time.
Second, how can you, you know, and I don't want to sound like I'm not giving Philadelphia credit because, like, you know, again, James Harden, again, another big shot, really the closer in their game four win. But I feel like they're just giving these games away.
Look at Philadelphia the other day. I mean, Embiid was great. Harden was great. And the Celtics were pretty bad for three quarters. You know, like Jaylen Brown was good early and then disappeared. Tatum was horrible in the first half, came on strong in the second half, and you still should have won on their home court with them facing pretty much a must-win situation. And again, the whole timeout situation with Joe Mazzulla. And not to get too technical here, but in terms of what he's done this year, when trailing by three or fewer points in the final 30 seconds of the fourth quarter or overtime, when he uses a timeout, comes out of the timeout, the Celtics are averaging 1.3 points per possession. When he doesn't use a timeout in the same situation, they're scoring 0.7 points per possession. They're twice as effective using a timeout. Use a timeout. Also, you're down one. You want to stretch the game out. You don't want to take a shot at the buzzer, or in this case, after the buzzer.
Yeah.
Because if you miss, you can get an offensive rebound, get another opportunity. If Philadelphia rebounds, you can foul, stretch the game out, give yourself another opportunity. And, you know, it was to the point where the guys on the set of TNT were like, did the Celtics know what the score was? Did they know they were down one? It wasn't tied. It was kind of the reverse of J.R. Smith 5 years ago in the finals when he thought Cleveland was up a point rather than tied after he gets that offensive rebound. Just bad situational basketball. And this has been a problem all year. They're 4-8 in overtime games this year, Ian. And they have the best bench in the NBA. They're young, athletic. In overtime, they should wipe people out. They're more athletic. They're younger. They got more options. And they're 4-8 in overtime this year. That speaks to something. I've never been a big fan of Joe Mazzulla. I think, as I've told you before, with Grossbeck and Brad Stevens has essentially given the keys to the Lamborghini to a high school junior who has his learner's permit, and it's just not working out. They still could win the championship because they're that darn good, but it's not going to be easy.
Well, and that's
the funny part of it, right?
I mean, exactly. They,
you know, in a month and a half, we could be saying, here's Banner 18 in spite of Joe Mazzulla.
Well,
crazy Joe Davola. Yeah, that's who I think he is.
Well, and... Two Seinfeld references in 6 minutes. I like that.
Well, we got time.
We got very limited knowledge, too. So, you know, we kind of always resort back to Seinfeld because it's our comfort zone. But, look, that's the funny thing about it is, like, you know, like you said, you had Harden go off. You had Embiid have a really good game. And yet it took a boneheaded play at the end of overtime for 76ers to beat the Celtics. So that, again, tells me all you need to know about where the Celtics team is like their talent is unmatched. The depth is unmatched. But the preparedness, their mental state, whatever you want to call it, is not on par with the rest of their ability. And that's the frustrating part. And that's the biggest factor in a lot of these games where it's like, how do you, you know, how are you in this position where it's like, first of all, like you said, they're only down 1 point. Why are you not going to the basket? Like, why are you trying to limit yourself to a last second 3-point shot? And it's one of the frustrating things about this team is like, they don't know when not to take the three. Like, I understand that, like, it's such an advantage in today's game. And when you're hot, you're hot. But much like people at a slot machine, John, when you start going on a cold streak, just walk away. Just walk away. Take that little lump, walk away, regroup, and you'll be better for it. And that's what I think the Celtics fail to do sometimes. And then you're in a situation like the other night where you're down 1 point, and you first of all, didn't look like they had a plan whatsoever, probably because they didn't take a timeout and discuss it. Second, it looked like they were playing like they were down 3 or 2. And they wanted to win the game when, well, like you said, you could go to the basket. And if you miss, you'll have enough time for an opportunity to get an offensive rebound and maybe draw a foul. And, you know, that gives you, I would imagine, it would increase your percentage of being able to take the lead. Because, again, all you needed was a basket. You could go 1 for 2. You could shoot 2 foul shots, go 1 for 2, and you're still in overtime. That's, I mean, that's, yeah, I don't know.
No, I mean, it's just, it's mind-blowing at that point. Again, it's Marcus Smart taking the big shot, who's your worst three-point shooter. And
he actually hit the shot. It was just unfortunate.
He actually hit the shot, yeah.
Just, it was a great shot.
It never really happened. They were trying to draw an inside straight flush. You know,
yeah.
Another gambling reference. They're like, okay, it's going to be a walk-off three. We're going to do this in style. The play is 5 seconds left. That's where you want to take the attempt because, again, you miss, you get the offensive rebound. How many times have we seen games end on tip-ins? That happens all the time. Mm-hmm. Or if Philadelphia gets the rebound, foul whoever, and beat Harden, send them to the line. If they hit both, you still have an opportunity to get a game-tying three. And you had 2 timeouts left. If you used one going into that play, you still would have had 1 left. I mean, it's just really difficult to understand what happens with this team. And this happened last year, too. I mean, it's easy to get on Joe Mazzulla. They lost a lot of close games in the postseason last year. When they're on and they're the best team in basketball, it's kind of a joy to watch, and they're winning by 12 to 15 to 18 points. But when it's a close game, it's almost like they don't know what to do. Do they not have a true closer? You know, these are guys that have played together for a while. Smart, Tatum, and Brown have been together for 6 years. I mean, Horford's been there a lot of that time. I mean, Derek White's in his second year with the team. Grant and Rob Williams in their fourth year. I mean, these are guys that have played together. It's not like they just threw this team together. Meanwhile, Phoenix, Kevin Durant plays 8 regular season games with the Suns, and here they are 2-2 with Denver, and now Durant and Booker are cooking, you know, and looking really good. And here's the Celtics, who still at the end of the game kind of look at each other and go, what do we do next?
Mm-hmm. No, look, it's – again, I guess the positive spin to all this is, well, when you're that good – and you can have these problems and still win a majority of your games, I guess that's a good thing. But the problem is the later we get, meaning, you know, obviously later in the regular season, but more importantly, the later we get into the postseason, the losses become more significant though. So like, you know, you can dismiss a couple lapses in the regular season, or maybe in the first round you have a couple games where it's like, all right, you know, like, come on, like, you do this once or twice against a team in the finals, like we saw at Golden State. I mean, all of a sudden your fortunes are completely flipped. You know, they're no longer are they up 2-1. They're getting ready to lose 4-2 because they couldn't win another game after winning two. So I think that's the biggest frustration point or biggest fear for certainly Celtics fans, is that we're going to see a repeat of what we saw last year. Which, look, if they get to the finals, that's great, but you want to win. No, you know, just going isn't going to satisfy anyone, especially, you know, when you've already done that and lost, and especially if you lose in the same fashion in which you've really kind of lost the last couple of years. It's, well, you're kicking yourself, you're tripping over your own feet, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, they're the best team in basketball, and you know I'm not a green teamer, right? Yeah. I mean, I think if they just go out and play solid basketball, which they did in the fourth quarter, they didn't in the first three quarters, they will win. I'm not saying they're going to go 16-0. They're not going to be the 2001 Lakers who went 15-1 in the postseason or whatever that was, because you had Shaq and Kobe at the height of their powers. They're not that team. There's no great team in the NBA, right? No. I don't think there's been really a great team in the NBA for 4 years. Look at the recent champions, right? Toronto, the Lakers, Milwaukee, Golden State last year. They all had flaws, and the Celtics have flaws, but I think they're the most versatile, deepest team in the league, and they should be ready to win a championship. And, you know, you have cats, right? Cats sometimes overthink things. You know, they're playing with the injured mouse, or they're playing with their food. That's kind of what you get, like, with the Celtics. It's like, just finish this thing off. Get it over with. They do this against Atlanta. There's no reason to go 6 games with the Hawks.
Well, and, like, that's the thing. It's like, just it doesn't matter how it looks. Just do it. Just win. And look, I mean... Someone said, look, we in the New England area were very fortunate to watch a guy like Tom Brady play for the Patriots for 19 years. But unfortunately, Jason Tatum's a great player. Uh-huh. All right, no doubt about it. Superstar in this league. It's not Tom Brady. No one is. That's my point, though. A lot of people expect, if you're a great player, that you're going... I mean, the you know, very rarely, and certainly in, you know, even the great players in Boston sports history, very rarely do you have a guy that almost 100% of the time elevated his game in the biggest moments. And that has, you know, for better or worse, shape and how a lot of us view great players. So if Jason Tatum is not hitting every big shot or making every big play, or like, you can sit there and say, oh my God, they went down 15 in the fourth quarter. Well, it's okay, because guess what? They're always in these games. You don't get that with it. As great as the Celtics are, you're not getting that. And that's, I mean, you got to understand that that's fine, because that's, you know, great players are not going to be 100% great all the time. I mean, failure's part of sports. It's just, we've been unfortunately spoiled, for lack of a better word, by watching a guy like Tom Brady consistently come through in the biggest moments. So now all of a sudden we expect that from every really good to great player that plays for the Red Sox, for the Celtics, for the Bruins, whoever. I mean, it's a good problem to have, John, have had experienced that to get to this point. But it's getting to the point now with, you know, the golden era, so to speak, of Boston sports being in the rearview mirror. It's getting to the point now where it's people don't know how to react to, well, yes, failure, but, you know, this is what normal teams and franchises go through, even great teams.
Been almost 4.5 long years since the last championship, right? And, you know, sometimes I'll go on some stations around the country, one in Phoenix, and they just laugh at us because, you know, they haven't won anything. Like, the Suns go to the finals like every 25 years.
Look at the Maple Leafs.
A big event. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, somehow they're down 3-0 to Florida. But, yeah, like you were saying about Brady and also David Ortiz, right? And it's a weird sport in terms of clutch, because, you know, Ted Williams, the greatest hitter ever, hit 200 in his one World Series. Really tough to compare baseball to any other sport when it comes to that clutch thing, but Ortiz certainly added the drama, the flair for the dramatic to come up with the big hit. Brady spoiled us all. I'm sure if we were doing this 50 years ago, Bill Russell spoiled everyone by winning every year. So, yeah, you hope that Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown can be that guy, but sometimes they fall over each other. And even to the point with Jaylen Brown, they didn't go to him at all in the final 3 minutes of regulation or the entire overtime. It's like, this guy is a legit stud. Like, you know, let's go to him a little more often than Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but that does seem to make sense, doesn't it?
Well, and again, that's where you get to the point where you're like, how is this team making these mistakes and looking so lost at this point when they're so good? And that's the frustrating part. And real quick, you know, to the Brady thing, we've talked about this really before, when kind of specifically when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. Like, how many people look at his career and would lean closer to failure? Failure is a harsh word, but you know what I mean. Like, disappointing, underwhelming.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
Disappointing.
Which,
exactly.
Look, there's obviously, you know, there's some disappointing parts of his career, but the standard, or at least the standard that's been set. Well, again, we're in this. There's a lot of confusion right now amongst the NFL because, you know, with Brady retired and you know, the hype around Patrick Mahomes probably at its peak. There's some, again, very confusing fans or confused fans out there when it comes to historical greatness. But right now, there's no one that's really matched it in that sport. So now you judge Aaron Rodgers based on Tom Brady's accomplishments when you shouldn't forget about Tom Brady for a minute. Just completely push him to the side. Don't compare other quarterbacks to him. This includes Patrick Mahomes, folks. I know people are getting a little upset, and you know they'll cite stats from 20 years apart to try to prove me wrong, but guess what? Just forget about him for a minute. Look at Aaron Rodgers' success in a vacuum and look at it compared to, well, his contemporaries, which are pretty much every other Hall of Fame quarterback, and again, his, you know, accomplishments look a lot better. You can do the same thing with stars, specifically in this town now, obviously, because when you go cross sports, I think it only really matters to other fans of Boston sports or whatever, but you expect that greatness out of Jason Tatum, and as great as he is, he's not that guy, you know, and that's fine. That's not a bad thing, John. I'm not saying it in a bad way. I'm just, you know, again, elevating Brady to this level that he deserves to be on. And unfortunately, again, it's confused a lot of people. I say there's a lot of confused fans in the NFL. Well, there's also a lot of confused Boston sports fans, certainly those who have only known what they've seen from Tom and the Patriots over a majority of the last 20-some-odd years.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in your late 20s, you've only known winning, right? Because the Patriots won the first Super Bowl in February 2002. So it's over 20 years ago. Yeah, so if you're a 28-year-old sports fan in Boston, you're just, like, appalled that the city hasn't produced a championship in almost 4.5 years. And I dare the Celtics are tied with the 76ers at 2 games apiece when this is, you know, actually still quite a positive accomplishment to be as good as they are. But it is disappointing in that sense because I do, just looking at it objectively, this is the best team in basketball, and it's just mind-blowing how many games they lose in the postseason that they have no business losing.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's off to a bad start like it was Sunday, and through that entire game I said I think they're still going to win because they're playing horrible, and they were always kind of in touch with Philadelphia, right?
Yeah.
And then they finally made their push in the fourth quarter, and then they go up 5, and I'm like, at that point I'm like, they're going to blow them out at this point. This is going to be a 12-14 point win, and you know, if you hadn't watched the game, you'd be kind of confused, speaking of confusion. But then they just let Philadelphia get back in, and you know, what's Jaylen Brown leaving James Harden for the game-winning 3. I mean, you're up 2. If Embiid scores there, it's a tie game. You get a chance to win it, you know, on your next possession. You don't leave James Harden alone in the corner who hit over 50% of his threes that day. Like, he just, again, just kind of this confusion on the court. I don't think the coach helps matters. You know, again, when you call a timeout in a situation like that, you can kind of reset the guys and say, okay, here's what we've got to do. Let's go.
Yeah,
ahead
but at the same time, the players got to execute.
The players have to, exactly. I mean, Jaylen Brown's in his 7th year, right?
And yeah.
Jason Tatum's in his 6th year. They're not rookies. So, you know, you do. Exactly. I mean, it's easy to beat the coach up, because in that sport, essentially, it is the players that, you know, dictate what's going to happen. I mean, Greg Popovich is generally considered the greatest coach ever. What the hell has he won since Tim Duncan retired?
Yeah.
I mean, he's hoping to win the lottery when they decide that. So, yeah, it's still up to the players because they're the guys on the court.
Yeah, and look, I mean, ultimately, I still think the Celtics are going to win this series. It's just, you're just hoping that these instances don't repeat themselves if they do get back to the finals, because again, there's no tomorrow, John. There's no tomorrow. So there is a tomorrow for us, though. Actually, maybe.
I hope so.
Yeah, there is a tomorrow for us. We'll possibly be on the air tomorrow. We'll figure it out. We'll let you know. But that's going to do it for us here today. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And we will talk to you later in the week. And hey, maybe those Lakers will close it out in five. We'll see. So thank you, everyone. And we'll talk to you then.